Everyone, welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council Planning Committee. My name is Brendan McKeown and I will be chairing this meeting. It will be recorded and it will be available to listen to on the Borough Council website. If you have a mobile phone, can I ask that you switch it to silent or turn it off, please? Members of the public, please do not interrupt during the conversations by the committee members. Members of this committee are reminded that they do not enjoy the same freedoms as those enjoyed by our colleagues in Parliament. On my right, I have members of the Planning Committee, and on my left, I have officers from the Planning, and then on my left, I have Administration and Legal Services. Presentations for the planning will be presented by the planning officer, and we will deal with them in the order as set out on the agenda. I hope I've got that right because I've done it without script. So if we can go on to the agenda. I'm going to do that one. So do we have, I've got the minutes of the previous meeting dated 25th of September, which was chaired by Councillor Tony Nixon, and he has signed them. So we're happy to accept those.
Yeah.
Thank you. And do we have apologies?
None received, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Declarations of members' interests for lobbying. Councillor Forden.
I've been approached by residents both for and against the Stoneford Works application. Whether I'm to declare that, I'm not sure, but I'm doing so.
But you're not predetermined?
I have not.
No. Okay. Delegated applications have been circulated?
Yes.
Okay, good. So we come on to the first planning application on the agenda. If you go to your page 3, this is planning application number 22/36231. /OUT, Stonefield Works, Alton Road, Stone, called in by Councillor Leeson. Richard Wood is going to take charge of this.
This is a application that seeks outline permission with only access for consideration at this stage for the development of the site, which you can see outlined in red. Gore, 114 houses. During the course of the consideration of the application, the number has been reduced. And in terms of background, this application follows the granting of outline permission in 2007, which has lapsed, and the refusal of outline consent in 2012 for residential development on flood risk grounds. The loss of this employment site and a non-designated heritage asset are considered to be outweighed by its redevelopment for residential use as set out in sections 3 and 4 of the report. And whose impact assessment has been submitted, which recommends mitigation measures through a construction environmental management plan during the construction phase, together with boundary treatments for future occupiers. The Highway Authority raised no objections, subject to conditions, and the lead local flood authority are satisfied that an adequate surface water drainage scheme can be provided, and you'll note that conditions 8, 9 and 10 secure surface and foul water drainage measures. The tree officer raises no objection to those trees identified for removal, subject to tree protection measures being secured by condition. Replacement tree planting. There's only one tree which is covered by a tree protection order, T9, which is identified for removal. On-site provision of 40% affordable housing and over 8,000 square metres of open space would be secured by a planning obligation, together with a number of financial contributions. Although some of the monetary sums requested are not considered to meet the tests in paragraph 57 of the MPPF, and the Community Infrastructure Levy Regulations 2010, and therefore are unreasonably or unable to be reasonably sought, and that's set out within the report. I'll take you through the presentation now. So if we have the site edge red, we have the Stone Road here, Bolton Road, Cross Street, and further to the top we have Airedale Road and Harding Grove. There are three existing accesses into the site. You can see here two from Alton Road and two from the Stone Road. So this is the aerial. You can see the building clearly shown with an extensive area of car parking around it to the front. And then there are trees which are dispersed throughout the site, particularly on the boundaries, some of which are protected by a tree preservation order. We have a series of 12 photographs. I'll take them about four or five at a time and then come back to the photo plan just so you can so you don't lose your bearings as well as to where we are. So the first two I'll take them from the Stone Road, and then we go round 3, 4 and 5 onto Alton Road and Alton Mews. So this is the first photograph. This is the frontage. Stone Road on the left here. You can see it's got a grass frontage. This is the main entrance into the building. This is looking in the opposite direction up the Stone Road. You'll see later on in the presentation that there is a new access proposed, and that's roughly in this area here. This is looking along Alton Road to give you some context in terms of the residential surroundings. And again, this is looking in the opposite direction. This is the entrance to Alton Mews, and this is a photograph looking down Alton Mews towards the Stone Road. So we have the next cluster of photographs are shown more within the site. So we have 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So here's 6, looking across the site from the southwest corner. This is looking across the central part of the site. And this is looking south towards the same corner. The last photograph was taken across there. This is looking towards the southeast corner of the site, and this is taken from the rear of the building. These conifers are identified to be removed, and this is looking on the opposite side of the conifers across the northern portion of the site, and this is the final image, again looking down the line of conifers. So we have plan one, this is the red edge, it encompasses the whole of the site. And this is the illustrative layout. Now I must emphasise that we're only considering the access into the site, so there are other reserve matters which would be considered if members are minded to grant outline approval tonight just for the access. So the actual layout, so what we're looking at principally is two accesses from Alton Road which utilise the existing accesses. The existing accesses on the Stone Road are here and here. They'll be stopped up and this new access created. As you can see, we have a area of open space in the centre of the site. The central play area in yellow. The purple lines, if you can just see those, they are the root protection areas for those trees to be retained. And we also have a number of sub features as well. These are these curved shapes around here. The last three images are pretty much parameter plans. So what these are demonstrating, so here we have garden sizes in association with the guidelines set out in our design supplementary planning document, which demonstrates what can be achieved on the site. We have open space provision, and this last image shows separation distances which can be achieved between the proposed dwellings. So what those last three drawings demonstrate is that the quantum of 112 houses can be provided on that site.
114,
sorry. Thank you, Councillor Cross. The recommendation is to approve, subject to the applicant first entering into a planning obligation and the conditions listed. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. I have a Sandra Robinson registered to speak in objection. Would you like to come forward? Make yourself at home. You'll have 3 minutes.
Thank you.
I'll let you know when you've used two.
Right. To be fair, I'm not really objecting to the site. I live on what you were calling Stone Road, but my address is actually Longton Road, and one of the terraces right on the edge of the site. So the objection to the housing is not a problem for me, really. It's the parking on Longton Road. Because we're terraced houses and we're on the main road, we currently park on a very wide pavement, which runs along the front of the proposed site. There's currently about 8 people parked there, and that can be more if we've got visitors. So my concern is that little bit of parking that keeps the cars off the busy main road will be lost to us. I can't make out from the diagrams just how far that boundary will move, if at all. So if it isn't moving, then I'm here for nothing. But if it is going to come forward and we can't park on the pavement, because the pavement is wide enough for cars and vans and still to allow pedestrians through, but it keeps us off the road, which is, you approach the slide hill as you're coming up from Stone along there, and if we're all parking on the road, which that might end up being the case, it's going to be a little bit difficult. And that's all I'm telling you, is concerns about the car park. Do I get back up now?
No, just stay there a moment if you
Thank
will.
Thank you.
For members' clarification, would you like to just point out where...
You see where the number 2 is?
Yeah.
Literally on that red line that's going up, like you call Stone Road, on the pavement there, because we live in those little terraces along the bottom, just below the number 2.
Can I put a photograph of Google Maps images that sort of shows it?
The railings would stay, so...
Oh, so that pavement will be that wide?
Yeah. So there is...
Well, the entrance that's going to go through the middle will minimise the...
So you can see the railings here.
The drivers is what...
There is a condition that in the report...
To retain the railings,
that's on page... That's on page 37 and it's condition 6. So there'll be no development beyond the railings.
Yeah.
They'll be retained.
But if you're talking about an entrance in the middle, aren't you?
Yes.
So therefore, obviously, we're going to have to keep clear from the junction in order to make sure there's clear view, which again is going to minimise where we can safely park. So even though it's wide, if you kept taking some of it away for a road width, you're reducing how much space there is for parking, and then if you take into account, as I say, the safety aspect of it, of making sure someone's got clear vision from that junction, that new junction.
The two become one, don't they?
So as you can see here, this is the new junction.
Yeah.
And then the pavement's retained either side.
And there's quite a few cars park along that pavement. Yeah. And my concern is, where are we all going to go?
There's two of them up there.
Yeah.
At the moment, we're parking safely.
Okay. Well, perhaps that's a point that members can pick up on as we go forward. Awesome. Okay. Thanks very much. Thank you. We now have a supporter, Mr. Tim Evans. Thank you, Tim. You also have 3 minutes. We'll shout you when you've got one to go.
Okay.
Thank you.
Evening, Chair and members. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak on behalf of my clients attached to the committee this evening. They'd also like to express their gratitude to your officers for the way in which they've engaged with us during the planning application process and preparing such a thorough and balanced committee report. So as Mr. Wood has said, this application has been with the planning authority for 28 months and the proposals have changed materially since submission. As the scheme has changed, the evidence Hitachi's consultant team has prepared in support of it has been thoroughly updated also. The application has been well publicised throughout so that anyone with an interest in the application has had the opportunity to comment on all aspects of it. This includes the parish council and neighbours, and their comments have ultimately influenced the proposals that are before members now. You'll note from your officer's report that they and all consultees are now satisfied that the proposed development would not give rise to any adverse technical or environmental impacts. And the report also highlights that they are satisfied that the illustrative layout of the scheme is acceptable in principle and will be capable of satisfying the council's separation and space standards. Officers have also confirmed that the development would make an appropriate provision for the payment of financial contributions towards the enhancement of new, provision of new enhancement of existing infrastructure facilities to mitigate the impacts and pressure arising from the increase in population on the town. In regard to those matters that led to the application being referred to committee, the local highway authorities confirmed that the development would benefit from a satisfactory means of access and that it wouldn't prejudice highway safety nor substantially increase traffic levels above those associated with the existing use of the site. The LLFA and Severn Trent Water's consultation responses confirmed that they are satisfied that the site could be satisfactorily drained and the development would not increase the risk of flooding in the locality. The proposal before members allows for the retention and enhancement of existing green corridors through the development between Stone Road and Alton Road.
1 minute.
And whilst we appreciate that Stonefield works are valued by local people and there is a desire to see the former factory building retained, Historic England have confirmed that the premises do not have significant heritage value. We've explored the potential for retaining and converting the former factory building as part of a residential-led scheme and have provided the council with robust evidence which demonstrates why this isn't possible. Securing planning permission for the redevelopment of Stonefield Works is critical to helping Hitachi fund its proposed relocation to new purpose-built premises on Beacon Park in Stafford. Those premises will better suit its current operational needs while allowing for the retention of the business in the borough. In the circumstances, we believe the case for granting planning permission is compelling and urge you therefore to resolve to grant planning permission in line with the recommendation of your officers.
Thank you very much, Tim. Thank you. We now have ward member, Councillor Philip Leeson. Councillor Leeson, you have 5 minutes.
Right, okay.
We'll let you know when you've taken four of them.
Right, okay. Well, the former Lotus building on the Longton Road should be regarded as a non-designated heritage asset of Stone and should be retained. It's the last link with the shoemaking industry in the town. And I would stress that I'm only referring to the building that's on the Longton Road, not Stone Road, Longton Road, and not the buildings at the rear, as shown in photographs 7, 8 and 9. I'm not referring to that part of the site. There are no objections to those parts of the site being demolished. although not a listed building, as stated in paragraph 4.5 of the report, it states that the factory has a clear association of history at a local level, and on this basis can be reasonably considered as a non-designated heritage asset. In paragraph 4.6, the conservation officer advised that there was no document submitted with the application to indicate whether a scheme has been explored to retain and adapt the existing building for reuse as a residential, or retain the frontage of the factory, including the boundary walls. It's interesting that the sister building, another Lotus factory of the same design in Bainbridge in Northern Ireland, has successfully been converted into residential apartments. So it is possible to convert them into apartments. There is a demand for apartments in Stone. Many people see them as a way of downsizing, particularly as there is a lack of bungalows in Stone. The popularity of such apartments is reflected in the conversion of the old police station and a new block in Station Road, which sold extremely quickly. In the conclusion of the report, in the observations of the conservation officer dated the 7th of March 2023, it states, the submitted opinions analysis and retention strategy does not appear to be based on any sound evidence. There remains a strong conservation objection to the principle of the whole demolition of the factory complex. The building should be classed as a non-designated heritage asset of Stone and should be retained. And I would ask the committee to delay the application until a full document outlining the facts that alternative uses for the buildings have been fully explored. Other issues, I'm pleased to see that there were concerns by residents regarding the green corridor between the development and the houses in Alton Road. And I note that in paragraph 8.8, there is mention that the existing trees on the site, situated along the boundaries, are to be retained. And I would ask that this is specifically states that this includes the green corridor between the site and Alton Road. There's still concerns about the increase of traffic on Alton Road. The houses in Alton Road have no rear access, and so residents have to park outside their houses on either side of the road, making it a single track road at times.
1 minute, Councillor Leeson. Yep. Thank you.
This is not so bad during the day when people are out at work, hence not being a significant problem when the factory was in operation. However, in the evening and at the weekend, the parking makes the road a real problem. You get a build-up of traffic waiting to use the Alton Road. The traffic generated by the proposed housing development will only increase the problem. This is despite the recommendations in paragraph 7.9 that the operation of the identified junctions would not be substantially affected by the proposed development, and there's no objection. But there is real problems with the traffic in the area. So I would ask that the committee bear these observations in mind when they discuss the planning application.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You can stay there if you wish to.
Okay,
members, over to you. Who wants to go first? Councillor Scott Spencer.
Yeah, I agree with certainly the ward members' initial comments on the heritage asset. Even though it's not been listed, it's quite clear from what's been stated by Historic England that they do consider it as an asset of local interest, a local historic value. And I've used this road for many years, and it's an iconic building of Stone, very easily recognisable. And for me, I don't think this application has taken into account that heritage asset and the principle of converting it. I think the retention of the front elevation, at least if not all of it, the central part of it, and conversion to flats could be made viable. He says here it's not viable, says there's two stories and they can't be put in, and we've heard from the ward member that a similar building has been converted into flats. So yeah, I think in regards to that, it's fouling policy N9, in my opinion.
Thank you. Councillor Brian Cross.
Yeah, if you look at page 12 of the report, 4.4, the Historic England report, it basically says that the criteria for listing was not met as the building does not have special interest in the national context. Further down, although this was not sufficient to merit listing, was the links to the Bostock family. So, you know, the report covers that aspect, in my view.
Okay, thank you. Who else wishes to speak?
You know, I agree with that.
Andy McNaughton?
Yeah, that, you know, it says, doesn't it, 4.8, that it's an example of bypass on a daylight factory, but on comparatively late date, it does not display any innovative methods of working that would set it apart from other daylight factories. So, in my opinion, reading that, it's not worth keeping, as well as the fact that it seems to be difficult to convert it into a apartment.
Thank you. Councillor Scott Spencer.
I'll come back to the same point. I think we have to look into the fact that this is Historic England are looking at things on a national scale, and we're looking at something on a local scale, which is pertinent to Stone itself. And even though it's not listed, they have quite clearly stated that it is of merit. And it could be considered a non-designated heritage asset. So Heritage England have not come back and said this is an asset that shouldn't be retained or shouldn't be valued. They said it just cannot be listed. That is, I would say, doesn't mean it should be demolished.
Okay, thank you. Richard wants to come in.
Yeah, so 4.7 of in the report, heritage asset assessment summary, options analysis and retention strategy has been submitted. Now, in terms of taking an overall view on this, members do have copies of the MPPF now. Can I just refer you to page 59, it's paragraph 209, which specifically deals with non-designated heritage assets. Maybe slightly different. It's paragraph 209. I'll just read out the second sentence in that. In weighing applications that directly or indirectly affect non-designated heritage assets, a balanced judgment will be required having regard to the scale of any harm or loss of significance of the heritage asset. So you'll see from the report that we do apply a planning balance, and therefore, in apportioning that the weight attributed to each matter, we do feel that the residential use of this site does outweigh the harm from the loss of that building as a non-designated heritage asset, and in accordance with the MPPF in terms of the balance judgment that we apply. Thank you.
Councillor Scott Spencer.
Can I come in again and say, so I don't oppose site being converted, being used for housing, and we quite clearly see through the amount of green space there and the spacing of the houses that there is the potential for a redesign which would allow this asset to be retained. The whole site isn't covered in housing, there's a lot of green space. That entranceway could be moved to one of the original entranceways. I don't have an issue with the housing itself, and I think the housing is required and could be designed in such a way to maintain the housing and retain that asset.
Okay, Richard?
Just going on from what I said, if you look at page 37 of the agenda, we do respect or not acknowledge the significance of the boundary railings on the Longton Road, low stone wall and common and columns, so those features would be retained apart from where the access would be formed here. And you'll see condition 7 also secures an interpretation board of the site's history. So we have given consideration to that point. Thank you.
Councillor Brian Cross.
Did you state that the two present entrances, where it showed as green trees, will be blocked off?
Yes, there's one there.
So in
there's
fact,
one here.
Although there's a new one in the middle, there's two more spaces being created along that pavement.
There will be stopped up, basically. The two existing accesses will be stopped up.
So the width of that pavement will be extant as it runs along?
Yeah, it'll be stopped up and it will just continue up along there.
Thank you. Can I also, is it in use, the factory, or is it empty? And if it's empty, do we know how long it's been empty?
The building is in use. It's not. It's several years ago since I visited it, but it was in use, but a fairly limited use. Now, obviously, we've had restrictions on working practices and COVID and things like that. But there are significant parts of the building that are not suitable for their current operation. And also in terms of the condition of some of the buildings, they simply don't use them all.
Yeah, just I noticed on one of the pictures there was several cars parked outside. I thought it was an empty building.
I think one of the other things you need to bear in mind is that the use of the site has been relatively low in traffic numbers in recent years. Going back a bit longer than that, I think they were operating two shifts at one stage, and there were a considerable number of people employed there, and also more larger vehicles coming and going. The site is a commercial site. It's a long-standing one, and therefore it's one of those sites where a different occupier could occupy the site without needing planning permission for a commercial type of use, and operate it quite differently to what the current operation is. Could have more vehicles, more movements, later at night and things like that.
Councillor Ian Forden.
Thanks, Chair. I know that a significant number of local residents see this development as contentious, and I've heard many of the concerns expressed here this evening. I must say I share several of them. In the interest of balance, a number of residents have approached me and they're asking, what does the future of the site hold if not housing, which is that John's just making. Is it more years of a derelict, deteriorating industrial space, as yet unknown industrial use, or is the housing in fact a better option, given that I understand the proposed housing density now meets the requirements of the MPPF local plan? I do sympathise, however, with the loss, sympathise with a decision that might lead to the loss of a non-designated heritage asset, and I sympathise with Councillor Leeson's desire for a review of that use before moving ahead. But there are some other concerns I'd like to spend a little time on, if I may. The first relates to the landscaping, and in particular the screening between the new and existing housing. I'm not convinced the plans show a reasonable level of replacement. I appreciate this is an outline application and therefore it's illustrative, but what assurances do existing residents have that the effective replacement is in sight before, is carried out before the developer moves off site? And I ask, could this be done via a condition? Perhaps houses should not be occupied until appropriate planting is in place. That's one for officers. I'd just like to throw that in. The second relates to flood risk. We can see that at least three modifications have been made to the plans made by the flood team before they were satisfied with the drainage for the site and with its linkage to the main drainage systems below the development. I note this includes improved flow into drains on Alton Road and Cross Street. That's 50 metres or more away from the site, and is presumably based on the possible additional runoff volumes from the new development,
but we need to recognise that the drainage currently in place on Alton Road and Cross Street has not been adequate for many years. I've seen the damage caused by quite frequent flooding, and as a ward councillor I've stood in flooded houses in Cross Street with water 30 centimetres deep in the living area. So the plans appear to allow for additional runoff to drains in an already overburdened drainage system. I know 7 Trent not listed on the portal as having responded since February 23, before the amended plans were submitted, but they have apparently no objections subject to conditions. I would need, before supporting this, reassurance that the improvements and mitigations to drainage on Alton Road and Cross Street are catering for both the existing failing system and the new development. More rainwater running off into drains that cannot cope now will simply exacerbate the situation. My third point would be that I note that ward councillors have not been consulted race section 106 months. There's a need for further sport and leisure facilities in Stonefield. Some of the commentary in the report is out of date, referring to swimming at a lane school where no pool has existed for several years. The school is aiming to refurbish its community use sports facilities and is within 200 metres of the development, so it meets the locality criteria. And I'd like discussion on the subject before any decision not to require a contribution from the developer is made. So, Chair, I'm minded to move that this application be deferred until those issues can be resolved, but I'll wait for further comments before I do so.
Thank you very much. Councillor Andy McNaughton.
Can I ask a question about the point you brought up about parking for the nearby houses? Could any parking be incorporated in the plan, either putting a lay-by in that wide pavement or making more parking spaces? Is that feasible?
I guess we have to...
Chair. Can we just come back to those four? I'll take the landscaping and the car parking, then John will take the flood risk and the fund.
We'll just start with the flood risk and go back to the aerial photo.
Yeah.
I just want to make a point in terms of the flood risk. Richard's going to put up, there we go, the aerial photograph. What you see at the moment is that other than the buildings, there's very little of the site that isn't hard surfaced. You can see the large areas of tarmac, Stone Road frontage, not quite up to the Longton Road, but a lot of parking there, and then to the rear. And then when you compare that with the illustrative layout, if you can just go to that roof. There's a lot more, there's a lot less hard surfacing on that. So in terms of discussing additional runoff, I don't see that's going to be the case. I think there should actually be less runoff from the site itself, because you've the garden areas, the landscaped areas, and obviously retaining the trees as well. So I think that's one thing to bear in mind. Particularly condition 8 relates to surface water drainage. The other comment I want to respond to is in terms of the planning obligations, and I think the reference was to that there was an identified need on the school site. I think it's what you were saying in terms of funding for leisure purposes. That's not been identified by council officers who have responded on this consultation. The applicant has raised the question in terms of where would the money be spent, what are the schemes, and they've not been provided with any answer on that. So if there is a ready-made scheme there, then obviously that's something that could be considered, but that's not anything that's been input into this application.
Councillor Ian Fordham.
John, I accept that completely. You've not been informed, so let's just put that one to one side and say the school is trying to improve sports facilities for community use, and I'm surprised, therefore, that this does not form part of a Section 106 agreement for this application. That's purely the point I'm making, but I accept your point. In terms of the runoff, if there is no additional runoff, in fact, there's going to be less runoff, I'm wondering why they suggested increasing the drainage from Cross Street and down the Longton Road.
I think one of the things that both the Environment Agency and the Lead Local Flood Authority are keen to incorporate is provision for climate change. For example, they add 10% to the figures of their calculation figures just to cope for that. So I think in areas such as this, and Richard will provide a bit more information in a moment, I think in cases where they're relatively old developed sites, you will see that they will try to require a larger drainage capacity in any case. I just simply wanted to make the point that in terms of water runoff, there are fewer hard surface areas for it to run off from. That doesn't mean there's a need for less drainage necessarily, but in terms of something that's referred to often with housing developments is the increased runoff that will occur. Yes, if it's a greenfield site, fully accept that, but in cases where it's a brownfield site, such as this one, particularly one where there's relatively small amounts of landscaping and the like on the site, then the water runoff from the site should be less than is there at the moment.
So through you, Chair, the suggestion is that the development will actually improve the situation. I'm still left wondering why they're improving the drains further down. But I accept again what you're saying. It leaves me uneasy because I've waded through water in people's homes just 50 metres below this site. Can I add another point in relation to what the lady Sandra was saying? I believe I'm right in saying that the pavement she's talking about can accommodate not only a normal width pavement, whatever that is, but also space for a car to park. So I would have thought there were ways to make that work, not beyond the wit of man. But that's just my observation.
Councillor Scott Spencer.
Sorry, I feel like I'm banging an old drum here, but I'm going to come back to the historic heritage aspect yet again, and just echo what the Conservation Officer says here, which is in page 32, where he says the submitted options analysis for retention structure does not appear to be based on any sound evidence, and remains a strong conservation objection to the principle of wholesale demolition of the factory complex. You then look at page 13, 4.10, and it goes, option 5, the demolition of the building, makes a more efficient layout and commercially more viable. Now, surely we're not going to base an opinion on the commerciality aspect of this, because I'm sure the 114 units already on the site, a reduction to retain this building would still make the site commercially viable. I don't see that as a relevant reason to demolish.
John Holmes?
Viability can be relevant, and what you will find here is that on this site, as with stone in the local plan, there's a 40% requirement for affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
If the costs of developing the site are increased, then the likelihood of achieving 40% will be reduced. What we have had on a number of applications is, subsequent to an application being granted, a case of viability being brought, and it demonstrating through an open book exercise that the viability of the site with the restrictions that are placed on it does not enable the range of planning obligations, including affordable housing, to be provided.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying it's directly relevant now,
no.
And I understand what point you're making in the report, but if, for example, for whatever reason, you decided that part of the site should be retained and the applicant goes away and works out a different layout based on that, it's highly likely you'll come back with a different version in terms of what the viability is. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you may then end up with considerably reduced funding obligations, whether it's affordable housing or other thing. We found it elsewhere on other applications.
Just to come back on, if I may, I suppose flats could be considered affordable housing rather than rather than a complete house and tend to be cheaper options.
Affordable housing has to meet a certain requirement.
Right.
You can't just call it that because you want to.
No, I'm just, affordability presumably comes down to price.
Flats have been provided in the past as forms of affordable housing, but registered providers are now, there's a number of registered providers that won't take flats, and therefore the price that a developer will get from an affordable housing provider is not as high as it would be for housing, for example.
Right.
Councillor Andy McNaughton.
I just wanted to go back to that question about the parking abroad.
Yeah. So I've just blown the image up of the red line, so the agent may correct me if I'm wrong, please, but the red line appears to extend from back of pavement, so anything in front of the red line is highway land outside of the applicant's ownership. Therefore, to require additional car parking would be outside of the applicant's control because they don't own that land. The only agreement that they have would be for the formation of the new access here with the agreement of the highway authority on their land. So any kind of off-site car parking would be outside of the applicant's control.
Okay. Councillor Tony Nixon.
From what I can see, if those railings are retained, the vehicles that are parked there are on the other side of those railings. And if the two entrances are now going to only be one entrance, I can't see any decrease in the parking availability in front of that development.
That's what I said.
In fact, there may be space for another car or two if two entrances are being closed and one installed. So personally, if the railings are stopping, I don't see an issue.
Councillor Peter Jones.
I mean, I've been quiet and listened to all of this. When I wanted to speak, I was right at the start of the conversation. When I first looked at these documents a couple of days ago, I thought, well, it's just straightforward. You've got to knock the building down and build the houses or leave it as it is. My first thought was, if it was in the middle of Eccleshaw, we'd knock the factory down and build the houses. And then the historical thing came up, and I thought, well, you want to build houses, you want to keep historical things. And it's a factory, it's an old factory, it's not properly used, some of it's deteriorated, and all sorts of things could be done. I'm assuming that our planners have worked with the applicant, what to get the best out of it, or how to get the best most money out of it. I mean, my still view, I'm afraid, is knock it down and build houses. But we've had some good views. I'm totally confused. I don't really know which way to go, to be honest.
Well, in terms of viability, the scheme has been reduced from 130 to 140 because we weren't satisfied.
You work with a developer.
Quantum could be accommodated.
We get all these good views and points of view from people. I'm not convinced one way or the other now. But my earliest view was to knock it down and build some houses. Not for the people of Stansted.
It's only for approval of access at this point, the principle of residential development on that site.
Thank you.
You have to apply the planning balance to portion weight to all matters.
Oh, guys, sorry.
I don't know who came in for that. Ian Fordham.
There are a number of quite significant issues flowing around here, aren't they? And there are probably different views on each of those issues. And I think some of them need a little more exploration. And I think it might be a case of identifying those three or four issues and asking officers to go away and take a look and come back with the appropriate assessment that we can look at again. Otherwise, we're going to be split and we might not be doing the best thing for the borough and its residents.
Councillor Scott.
Chairman, I support that. I think this part of Stone if you look at Stanfield as a whole, that since it's been developed, the development of car and car usage has had a significant effect on being able to move around. And I think that there is an opportunity to ameliorate that situation, and I don't think this scheme does that in any significant way. And I think that what Councillor Fordham is suggesting is a period of reflection, taking into consideration the issues that have come around this table this evening, is an important one, and I would support that.
Thank you, Councillor Jones. Councillor Scott Spencer.
It was mentioned that this is regarding access, and of course one of these accesses goes potentially straight through this historic asset. So if we granted the access, we would therefore be almost by proxy granted the demolition of the potential designated heritage asset at the same time. So I would support deferral until a full options appraisal of the retention, or at least the partial retention of that heritage asset, is taken fully into account.
Did I see a proposal for a deferral?
I would be prepared to propose, Chair, but on the basis that there are three or four things that we've looked at. I'd like to see Chairman and Steve look at
the explicit on the question that we've got.
In order to list it as a motion, you need to identify the reasons for the deferral, because at present there haven't been clear reasons.
I put one reason, but I'm sure there may be others as well, that it doesn't fully meet policy N9, and that a full appraisal, as the conservation officer has stated, should be conducted to show the viability of retaining the non-designated heritage asset.
Hold on a second.
Chair, I'd like the sports facilities section 106 reviewed.
Okay.
And also flooding mitigation. I'd like the reassurance. I take it officers are obviously reassured that I've run through water there on this.
So we've got three at the moment then, in terms of the heritage asset, further investigation, was it? Sports facilities, again, investigation of local need, was that?
Deficiencies in communities, facilities, spaces and facilities.
Did you say flooding?
Yes,
Chair, while we're at it as well, 11.17, page 26. States financial contribution, increasing the amount of existing services resulting from residential development and ability to absorb capacity or for financial contribution to be sought, satisfy the regulations, it's not been considered the test have been met. So, and this is obviously to do with the NHS. So, I was wondering why this has not been raised as an issue as well.
In terms of the sports facilities, there's the identification of a deficiency in the Cabinet report. And what you're saying, Councillor Fordham, is that the local need has not been addressed.
I don't think it's been reflected in the report.
Okay.
So, yes, so the the question about the Integrated Care Board's response and request for a contribution is similar to the request for some of the sports facilities. And if you look at paragraph 11.16, it does not. They haven't outlined where the funds will be directed, what the project is. So you can't simply take money to use somewhere in the borough. That is not lawful. And the, for example, it quotes an appeal decision there in terms of Warwickshire Police Headquarters, where that was the type of thing that was being required. The planning obligations can only be sought where they meet a number of tests. So necessary to make the development acceptable in planning terms, directly related to the development, and fairly and reasonably related in scale and kind to the development. You see that at paragraph 57 of the NPPF. The Community Infrastructure Levy regulations also, in similar words, restrict what you can do. So if you don't know where the money is going to be spent, how can you be sure that it's directly related to the development? That's the essentially the problem.
Okay. Your point, Councillor Fordham, is that
in terms of the sports facilities, they're certainly in the locality, they're within 200 metres. And I've definitely read literature which says that Stone is short of certain playing pitches and sports hall. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I couldn't point you to that at the moment, though. Section 1118, I think, probably refers to.
Just trying to get some words for you, if you did wish to refer.
Yeah. Members, for clarification, the first reason for deferral was from Councillor Spencer that the proposal does not fully meet policy N9. Can you just expand upon that in what way?
Well, I feel as the Conservation Officer has stated, that the options analysis potential strategy does not appear to be based on any sound evidence, and there remains a strong conservation objection to the principle of the wholesale demolition of the factory complex. We seem to be basing.
So you want clarification of the evidence then?
But clarification of the evidence, and if the developer is minded to submit a scheme that may retain at least some of the non-designated heritage asset.
Okay. Can we just clarify what you consider to be the non-designated heritage asset? Looking on the screen,
I would say I think the retention of the entire frontage is possibly unreasonable and would make the scheme completely unviable. However, to me, the central section.
Yes. This here.
Yeah.
Just this taller section here.
The two wings. Yes. Yeah.
Without these kind of elements.
Yeah. Yeah. If you included those, it would be unviable.
You do see that quite in new developments, don't you? The entrance is like a boulevard, and at the end of it is...
Indeed, yes. Well, they can have the entrances outside of it. I mean, the entrance is already there,
okay,
inside of it.
So we're in the standard region, the first reason for deferral. Can we have the second one, please?
Yeah, St George's Park.
Sports, was it the second one?
Sports facilities. There's no... There is a need in Stoke. I think it's an identified need.
Within 200 metres.
Contribution made here.
I feel like I may be shooting this deferral in the foot slightly, but doesn't section 11.23 say it's contributing?
Chairman, I'm not quite sure what's happening.
I think the deferment is to try and see what
the value of that
frontage is, whether it can be incorporated or not. And the conservation officer has not responded since March 2023, which is quite a long time ago. But they retains a strong conservation objection to the principle of wholesale demolition of the factory complex.
So if I can just clarify that one then. What Councillor Fordham is raising is a question in terms of the planning obligations, and more specifically the fact that the Leisure Policy and Implementation Officer hasn't identified where the leisure, the requested funding for leisure would be used. That, to be honest, that is something that we've already been back to the relevant officers on, unless they've got no further information. But again, if committee wish to defer it for that reason, that we can ask again. Okay, that's two.
Two. The final one was floods. Flood mitigation. Seven Trent, set no plans in motion.
Well, I don't know what's happened in the background, but there's nothing posted and reported from Seven Trent since February 23, I think, but there is reference in here to them having no objections subject to certain conditions which are listed elsewhere. But I suppose I'm expressing, from personal experience, a lack of faith that they've done the sunshine.
So you're looking at page 31, Local Lead Flood Authority, February 2024. Insufficient detail to fully demonstrate a drainage strategy.
John gave a very good explanation of why it might be appropriate. But we haven't seen anything from Seven Trent.
So you'd like a reconsultation from Seven Trent?
Yeah, I'd like to see them put themselves in writing.
Okay. Councillor Ford, you also make reference to the Leeds Local Flood Authority. Are you satisfied with the conditions that they're recommending, that they are satisfying with the drainage strategy?
My issue isn't with
the with Seven Trent.
It's with Seven Trent and its drainage downstream of the development, which is frequently.
So we can reconsult Seven Trent.
Thank you.
And then the fourth reason.
Well, wasn't that somebody's question about parking?
Yeah, but I thought that's an outside.
There
was also an issue of landscaping.
Yeah. So it was a question of whether developers should be required to implement the planting before a certain trigger, such as occupation of. In proportion of the development, because we have seen developers not.
That will be addressed at reserve matters stage, but landscaping is actually a reserve matter. So we have three reasons.
Okay, so I think we've hammered that one down. It's been. So, Councillor Fordham, you're the man who proposed it. Are you happy to propose it with those reasons being
yeah, sure.
the reasons for deferment.
Second.
It's already been seconded by Councillor Gareth Jones. And are you in agreement with those reasons for deferment?
Yeah.
Okay, so proposed and seconded to be deferred for those reasons. All those in favour, please show.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And against?
1, 2, 3, 4 against.
Abstention.
Any abstentions?
1.
Okay, so it will be deferred. Thank you. Right. Thank you for that. We now move on to planning application 21/34683. Land west of Redgrave Drive, Castlefield.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
By comparison, this should be a much quicker application. What you'll see in front of you on page 45 is a very short report, less than 2 sides, and it refers to a previous decision made by this committee back in August 2022. There has been quite a period between since then when the Section 106 agreement was being sorted out and completed, but once that was done and we come to issue a decision, then it's apparent that there is a problem with condition 1 on the planning on the committee resolution. The original outline permission gave 10 years for the submission of reserved matters. This is a section 73 application to amend other conditions on the original, and the effect of which is to issue a whole new permission. What we cannot do is extend the time period. So instead of saying in the report 10 years from the date of this permission, it should have been 10 years from the date of the original permission. So what we are recommending through this report is that condition 1 does not say 10 years from the date of the permission, but it now says the period that's set out in paragraph 1.9, application for the approval of reserve matters shall be made to the local planning authority before the 22nd of May 2029. In other words, it gives less than 5 years remaining rather than 10. Other than that, the report, the conditions are all the same that you've previously, or this committee has previously agreed. So, Chairman, I would just simply ask that that we amend condition 1 to reflect that period stipulated in paragraph 1.9, and then that would enable the permission that has already been resolved to be granted to be granted.
Thank you. It's all on page 44. Anyone want to propose accepting
that? I'll propose it. We'll
Councillor Brian Cross proposes.
And
Councillor Alex Sandyford seconds to approve this report. All those in favour? Thank you very much. Did anyone abstain there?
No, everyone.
I thought everyone did. Can we just check that one again? All those in favour, please show. Okay, yeah, well spotted. Okay, move on to appeals now. Notified appeals and outcomes. Who wants to take this one?
Thank you, Chairman. The notified appeals are set out on page 76. They are both in respect of delegated decisions, one being agricultural storage building and the other being the change of use from an agricultural building to a barn. There are also four appeal decisions received. which are listed at the bottom of page 76 and the top of page 77. And they, all of those decisions then follow in the subsequent pages in the report.
Excuse me, what does advise not PD mean?
Yeah.
All right, not permitted development.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Right. The Town and Country Planning General Permitted Development Order grants permitted development rights, which are referred to as PD here, for in brief, to certain types of development. Now, you probably have previously heard me say that there are certain types of extension you can do to a house that permitted development. There are also increasingly a number of changes of use. Now, this particular one is something the government introduced a few years ago, whereby certain sizes of barn and agricultural type buildings can be converted to houses, dwelling houses, without the need for planning permission. So, in other words, with permitted development rights, but subject to certain limitations. Now, why that application was refused was because the council did not believe that the applicant had met those requirements. Therefore, it wouldn't grant a lawful development certificate because it didn't believe it was lawful. The applicant is appealing because he takes a contrary view.
Okay, there's another one I was just looking at there. Costs were awarded.
Yes, Chairman, this is another very similar one where it's a conversion of a barn to a house under permitted development rights, same part of the general permitted development order. In this particular case, the time period that is allowed is 56 days to make a decision. If the council does not make a decision in that period, deemed consent applies. Again, in this particular case, we didn't believe that the property met the requirements to be converted. However, we didn't refuse the application. We first of all sought more information and then came to the view that it didn't meet the requirements, therefore we couldn't grant consent. What the inspector finds in that decision is that the council didn't deal with it in 56 days, therefore it grants prior approval. It does go on to say that that doesn't necessarily mean you can do it, because there's still the argument of do you comply with the regulations or not. But the simple fact for not dealing with it in 56 days, he grants, decides that, what's the word? Prior approval is deemed to be granted, that's the wording. And the applicant applied for costs because of he didn't consider it necessary to appeal. And the inspectors awarded costs in his favour. We don't know what they will be at this point in time. The applicant has to submit details of the costs to us with reasonable evidence. And we will consider that once they're submitted.
Would it be helpful for members if we had a better understanding of prior approval and this 56 days rule? Because it appears that, and I know another incident where we as an authority just ran out of time on the 56 days and approval was granted by default. So I think it might be better if we all had a better understanding of what that is, whether there could be some information, something brief, nothing planning wise.
We can produce some information. I'm afraid it's going to be relatively jargonistic though, because of the nature of the legislation. But yes.
But would it be helpful? Do you think?
I don't know. I think he's explained it quite well.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Why would someone?
We're ready. John can test us on it.
I think we understood.
Okay. Right. I think we're done. Just to remind you, we have got a planning schedule for November the 6th, but that's going to be postponed and cancelled, and the next meeting will be on the 20th, something or other, later in November. So thank you for your attendance tonight. Thank you for everything. Have a good journey home.